all you Mr. and Mrs. Things to this week's episode of Nerd Management. I am your co-host, Alec Ward.
Just hang on to the largest back in the world. And I'll dog paddle backstroke all of us for safety.
I'm your co-host, Warner Swopes.
Oh, you smell like that too.
And with us today, we got Chris Banta, our sound producer.
Oh, no, I can't stand it. I gotta talk. We all gotta be quiet.
And our other sound producer, Justin Smith.
You can feel it, dude. You can feel it.
Love it.
Our news correspondent, Tiffany Swartz. We're checking out all kinds of new sound clips today. And we got a special guest with us tonight. A good friend of mine from long, long ago, Mr. Lloyd Moore.
This is the sound of my voice.
Welcome.
Good stuff.
It's good to have you with us. Lloyd, we've known each other for like, I was doing the math today, I think we've known each other for like 11 or 12 years. Yeah. It's really ridiculous.
I started
a long, long time.
Friend dating when you and I started real dating.
Yeah. Friend dating. Love
yeah.
It. Eating chocolate eclair ice cream bars in the back of IGA. Talking about comic books.
Dude, I have some great IGA stories when we get to the topic.
It was my favorite when you were actually there when I brought him lunch every night. Or dinner, whatever.
There's some great, great stories about Lloyd and I working together in, like, high school times. It was a good time.
I've known you for about 10 or 12 minutes, which is cool. It's been pretty good so far.
Yes. So, anyway, we've got some comic books to talk about, huh?
Yeah. Why don't you start us off this week? I usually go first.
My book of the week, first of all, I need to say for sure that, like, this was a tough week to pick.
It was real tough.
Because every book that came out this week was awesome. For, like, every single book I read was really great.
Spot on.
We had Letter 44 by Charles Soule, the second issue, just solid.
Yeah.
A really good Hawkeye, and we haven't had Hawkeye in a while.
Yeah.
Really good.
I love the Kate Bishop stuff. I love that it's so completely different from the Barton stuff.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And there was a great Flash issue that tied into Zero Year, where Barry Allen was just a detective, not the Flash yet, and he teamed up with Harvey Bullock from Gotham City, and is like the best cop story ever.
Isn't he skinny right now?
Yeah. Which Bullock is it? Is he the skinny?
Yeah.
I want to see a one-shot animated of that series.
Yeah, I was going to say
like how he got skinny.
Yeah. Just
the story,
the spin-off of obesity.
But the story would be really short because it's just him deciding to get his stomach stapled, and he's like, "All right, yeah."
Or it's like Gotham Central, but really lame. They just CW'd it up.
But my book of the week, overall, just out of everything, was, I think, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 25 has to be my book of the week. And the reason it was is because it was like when I was playing with my Ninja Turtles when I was a child, and, like, this is my idea of Ninja Turtles. It's like, and Bebop and Rocksteady were there, and all the turtles were trying to save Leonardo, and then Splinter was fighting Shredder, and then Hun showed up, and Casey had to beat him up because Hun's really Casey's dad. Like, it was like something I'd make up. And then Slash is there. Just, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. This is what, as a kid, I would have been, like, making up in my head, and now it's like a real comic.
And then the Hulk comes in, and
well, Hulk was there.
Poops all over everyone.
He opened his book and went, "Yeah, it's gonna be a good one." Bebop and Rocksteady. I was like, "Oh, I'm not."
The first page is just Bebop and Rocksteady beating the crap out of the turtles, just really handing it to
nice.
Him.
Nice,
that's awesome.
And I was just like,
"Wow, it's very nice."
And I like those kind of comics where it's like, "This is what I've always wanted to see," and then they actually get it.
Yeah, they actually do it. My book of the week was Aquaman 25.
Ooh, Aquaman.
Awesome. And sadly, the last episode.
And that's one of the reasons why it's my book of the week. Also, to add on to yours, even though we don't talk about Saga that much, Saga this week, or this month, was really
good. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was a new Saga?
There was a new Saga.
And it was awesome.
It was... You can't even imagine how good.
Also, and I don't think I'm the only one here that reads the Celestial stuff, but Nova was awesome, and it was the
PBS show.
Yeah,
it also was Ghost Rider, also the PBS show.
Huh. You remember Ghost Rider?
Yes!
I thought I was the only one.
No, I understand.
The kids to solve mysteries. Yeah.
And don't forget the double team with Wishbone.
Yeah!
Oh, right, I freaking love Wishbone.
We lost the
dog.
But, the honorable mention of Nova, it was the 100th Nova issue overall, so it was kind of an oversized issue. It was just really cool. But anyway, Aquaman 25, like you said, is the end of Geoff Johns' run, and man, does he know how to? He knows how to end a run.
There was, and this will be spoilers, but there was a beautiful
spoilers
where, like, finally, all this stuff that's been happening with the old king, Atlan of Atlantis, mm-hmm. and like finally he's defeated. Arthur is back on the throne as the king of Atlantis, and Mira's like, I don't think I can handle the pressure of this, and she leaves. And you're like, oh no, he can't end his run with them being separated. That'll suck. Yeah. And then she, like, goes and goes back to the surface world to the lighthouse and, like, gets the dog from whoever's been, keeping their dog for them. And the lady's like, the dog was so awesome. We really love your dog. Where's Arthur? And then Mira's all sad. And then Mira just leaves the dog with the lady who loves the dog and goes back to be with Arthur. And I was like, oh, that's so great.
The only thing is,
and then there's, like, an embrace and a kiss and... It was real sappy, but it was awesome. And then... But then this is the best.
He comes to beg crying.
Oh, my God.
There's a ghost in here.
Ghost Rider!
Ghost Rider! He's trying to write us what this episode should be about. Get back on track, boys! But basically, it ends with... And here's Geoff Johns' next story arc of Justice League.
Yeah.
Tying into Aquaman again, which would be really cool.
Well, and what was really cool is it tied into the Ocean Master Forever Evil Villains Month thing, which so far is the only one to have done that. I mean, you know, it kind of tied directly into that. It was just an overall really good issue, action-packed. I loved it. It was hard to put down from as soon as I started, so... Lloyd, do you have any books of the week?
I haven't got my books this week.
Yeah. He's out of his element.
Yeah.
He normally lives in Texas, came here for Thanksgiving, and boy, are we glad he did.
Boy, are his arms tired. But,
wow.
What's the deal?
Do you have any... I will say that I did have kind of a... meh book.
Take your claws into my organs. Stretch into my tendons.
The ultimate warrior just won't. He just keeps going. Just let him put his on.
Superior Spider-Man number 22. I like the fact that Venom's coming into it, which is cool, but...
Yeah.
Yay.
It's just... the whole thing that slots in symbiote. This is going to be, like, the run that ever... Or this story arc is the one that everybody's going to remember him for. It's just been really boring. It hasn't really been anything that's happened.
I just don't like any time that Spider-Man has, like, the Spider-Man police and the Spider-Man robots. I don't care about all that stuff. Are you reading
that? Oh, I love that he has henchmen.
It's silly! It
brings me so much joy for Otto Octavius to yell things as Peter Parker as Otto Octavius. It's meta, guys.
He's meta in a damn slot. That's what he plays with Peter Parker.
Oh, man.
And he's just like, flip, flip, guys. I'm damn slot.
People don't like me on the internet.
Oh, damn.
I like damn slot on the internet, but people really don't.
On the plane, I did read all three issues of Sex Criminals.
Yeah,
and
I think it's really good.
I really wanted someone to be like, "Are you reading pornography on the airplane?" No, it's called Sex Criminals. They have sex and they do crimes.
I'm not helping myself. Yeah, I guess I am.
Back to watching Adventure Time.
There you go. I only read the first issue and I enjoyed it a great deal. But I kind of went into the same thing. I was like, well, am I just not mature enough to read this? Yeah. Or,
and the name of the book is awful.
Yeah,
Sex Criminals. It's just like 14-year-old came up with that. Come on, guys.
Except Matt Fraction. He's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
He's, anyway.
Yeah.
But, so, I think we're going to move it on to our moment of glory.
Yeah.
Moment of glory!
For this week.
Yeah.
All of you Whovians out there, it was the 50th anniversary special episode. last Saturday.
Shut up, Burger Sack.
Man, you shut your mouth.
You can leave, sir. Man.
You just sit back for a second while we just blow your mind with some Doctor Who goodness.
I want to start. Was there anything you didn't enjoy about the episode?
I think, before we get there, I think we should talk about all of the awesome things. Like, the 50th anniversary special episode was, like, one thing of the 50th anniversary, but there was also An Adventure in Space and Time, which was a documentary about the first Doctor. And
absolutely.
I loved it.
I don't think he's anyone's favorite Doctor.
No.
But he's definitely iconic in, like, well, that's what started the show.
He started it. Yeah, yeah.
And originally that show was written to be just like, this is a guy named the Doctor, and he's a time traveler.
Right.
And he's an alien. And that's it. And that was the basic premise. But eventually he got so old that, like, he started getting senile and wasn't remembering his lines. And it was, like, hurting the show. Not just like, oh, I can't remember his lines, we'll have to do it again. Because back in those days, they only had 4 takes to get it right, and then they just had to keep whatever was the best.
Right.
And it was a lot of edits. Yeah, right. Only 4 edits for the whole episode. And so there's a lot of mistakes in the old Doctor Who stuff because he just wasn't good at remembering his lines. And a lot of times they would, like, even write things in as to why he was bad at it.
Right.
And but eventually he got to where he physically couldn't film as much as they wanted him to. And they had to come up with something, and somebody had the genius idea of why don't we just recast him and this alien can change the way he looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the fact that it wasn't just about Hartnell either. And I can't remember the lady's name, and I'm so sorry, but it was her story too, you know, how she got into it, started it, and then it kind
of the first woman producer of a show.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
The first Indian director of a show for BBC.
Yeah, it was really pretty impressive as far as just how much ground they really broke with Doctor Who originally.
They put them on the crappiest set possible.
And they had some great references to, like, the current stuff. Like we had talked about before, Alec, before everybody got here, we were talking about how when he's leaving the show, his line is, I don't want to go, which is a reference to Tennant's line when he regenerates. And then,
by the way, did you cry when Tennant regenerated,
because
I kind of
a little bit.
Yeah.
I did.
But
I mean, there was missing.
The moment where I got the most misty eyed in the Adventures in Space and Time was the end of the episode. The end of the episode where Hartnell's like, "What's going to happen? Like, I don't want people to forget my legacy." And there's that moment where, like, just a brief little spoilery moment, but I don't know how many people will know, but Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor, is in the TARDIS with him as, like, a hallucination of, like, he's seeing where the show could go eventually. And so there's, like, this 50-year gap where they show you, like, this is how awesome this guy's legacy was.
Yeah.
Like, the show continues to go on.
That was actually the only part that I didn't really connect with.
Really?
And I appreciated it. Because
you're a Tennant Doctor guy?
No. I love Matt Smith.
I mean, it's much of Star Wars putting in a new character in the movie.
Oh, they Boba Fetted it.
Well, no.
Who shot first?
Oh, no, they Anakin.
I wish that Hayden Christensen would have just shown up in the TARDIS thing. He's like, they're like, why is Hayden Christensen? What happened?
Why not?
He makes it all better, right?
Terrible acting.
There's only 3 Star Wars movies. Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones. Sorry.
There's only 3 Star Wars movies with that much monotone acting.
It would have been great if you just, like, jumped around, like, Phantom Menace, Jedi, and
the Attack of the Clones.
If you don't love Ewoks.
And the Star Wars Christmas special.
Wookiee
Life Day is coming up.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it because it was clearly filmed off set.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, CGI'd and it's whatever. But overall, I thought it was awesome. And I didn't know that much about the first Doctor at all. And it really made me care for not just the character of the Doctor more, but for William Hartnell as well. So.
And that's not the only thing that we got from the 50th special.
No.
There's a lot of documentaries, and the Doctors Revisited. They go through all
the science of the Doctor.
The science of the Doctor.
That was pretty cool.
There's a lot of really cool stuff, but my favorite thing was this little internet thing that Peter Davison, the fifth Doctor, put together called the Five-ish Doctors, or for a while it was being tweeted as the Fish Doctors.
Yeah, right.
Five-ish.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. But basically, it's Peter Davison, who's my favorite Doctor. He's the fifth Doctor. Colin Baker, the sixth Doctor. And Sylvester McCoy, the seventh Doctor. And they're basically mad that they're not in the 50th special.
Right.
And so it's like this spoof of them like trying to get into the 50th. And there's always fun little gags of like
right.
Sylvester McCoy making all the Hobbit references and how he's a big name actor now because he's in The Hobbit. And he doesn't know if they'll be able to spare him for a couple days for him to film Doctor Who special. And just like
right.
all this funny stuff where it's like him taking himself way too seriously. And there's a couple really great gags. One is Peter Davison, when he finds out he's not in the 50th, is talking to his young sons, and he's like, boys, I have some really bad news. And they look away from their video games and look at him for a second, and it cuts back to him, and he's like, I'm not going to be in the 50th special. And it cuts back to them, and they're just like playing their games. And ignoring him. They don't care. Like, David Tennant was their favorite, who is
his son-in-law.
Their brother-in-law,
yeah,
sort of. Because David Tennant's actually married to Davison's daughter.
Oh my god, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So his sons are like,
who played the doctor's daughter?
Right.
His
sons are like, our brother-in-law is so cool, he's the doctor.
Whoa,
and
seriously?
Like, he's like, dude,
I'm the doctor. Yeah, no, I know the
yeah,
doctor's daughter.
Yeah,
the blonde chick that's in
his
daughter.
I love the running.
Another great gag is she's like talking to Tennant on the phone, and she's like, hey, dad really wants you to do this favor for him. He's like, fine. And he just puts a fire extinguisher in the door so they can get in backstage of the 50th. And all the while, he's like, okay, but I gotta go. I'm filming Doctor Who. She's like, but I'm kind of busy. And then it cuts away, and he's like hung up on her. And she's giving birth to their child. This is hilarious. It's like really funny, like British humor.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the best gags, though, is John Barrowman's in it, who's one of my favorite companions. He played Jack.
Yeah.
And
Captain Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
who was legitimately upset he wasn't in the 50th.
Right, right. And he's like a well-known gay actor in Hollywood. And
right.
He...
also in Arrow.
He is in Arrow.
Sure.
The main character in Arrow now.
Yes.
But,
sort of. He's not there anymore. Spoilers.
Spoilers. You need to catch up.
You need to watch
it. I know. No. I have seen it.
But also, like, the gag is, like, they're like, can you take us to the 50th? And he's like... maybe, guys, but I'm kind of busy. And they, like, look in his van, and they see something, and they're, like, horrified. And he's like, don't tell anybody. And it cuts to who's in the van, and he has, like, a wife and kids.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this deep, dark secret. And it's just, like, funny that he can, like, poke at himself and stuff. It's just a lot of fun. A lot of funny gags like that. They're real visual.
Yeah.
And just really well done. And it's half an hour. You should definitely check it out.
Also, and I think this came out the week before, but I think it was called the Night of the Doctor.
Yeah,
the one with the McGann. So good.
They had Peter McGann. Paul McGann is the eighth Doctor.
It was exactly 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It kind of explains the gap between he only played the Doctor in the made-for-TV movie that Fox did with the BBC.
Yeah,
and it didn't go very well. To fill the gap between that movie and the new Doctor Who stuff, they made this like
webisode,
and it was awesome and perfect and just spot on.
Oh, it got me so psyched for the 50th.
But the 50th, let's talk all about that now.
Okay. I know I'm new to the Whovers.
We'll hold your hand.
But it's, so far, it is my favorite Doctor Who thing that I've seen. Do you disagree or agree? Well, you like the Five Doctors because
the Five Doctors is probably my favorite.
I went back and watched the Five Doctors just because you said it, and it was pretty brilliant.
It's spot on.
Yeah,
but the 50th had probably my second favorite thing, and it was so great because, they were able to get rid of the Time War stuff that kind of is confusing, and
that explained the whole Master thing as well. Like, how were they actually stuck in the time?
Okay,
right.
That was my question. Was so.
Yeah. How you doing, Banta? You all right?
I'm here, man.
Okay.
So, he never did it then, right?
Right. He saved the Time Lords and made the Daleks destroy themselves.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And so that's why the Time Lords are stuck in that one moment in time and
really
can't
angry
really get
about
out.
It.
Yeah.
Then how, because the room that they're in at the very end, it says it's like time locked or whatever, so nobody's going to remember it. Then how does Capaldi remember it? By the way, Capaldi's eyes. Let's just
right. We don't know that he remembers it. We're not there.
Well,
he
came back to do it.
They all came back.
Oh, I guess that's a good point.
Ha!
But yeah,
brain.
Basically, at the
timey-wimey.
But how they saved it is all of the doctors, including the new doctor that we haven't seen yet.
Well, we saw his eyes.
Just his eyes.
Yeah, team up and save the Time Lords, and it was awesome because. all of the footage of the older Doctors was stock footage, but it was cut together so well that
it was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I,
don't you think
that was my least favorite part about it is that I didn't get to see her
see
going into Eccleston.
I want to see the regeneration so bad.
I know.
Yeah.
And
never
I understand. I understand that Eccleston's a doucher and he won't do it, but it's
kind of two sided. He had a little falling out with
there was a huge,
who was the showrunner before.
Don't call it little.
Russell T. Davies.
Yeah,
yeah,
Russell
Davies,
T. Davies.
Yeah,
and he and. And Eccleston didn't really get along.
That's
and
why
so
his season
he had a falling
so
out,
yeah.
And then Moffat was like, "Hey, come back for this stuff." And he's like, "Dude, I don't even want anything to do."
Yeah.
And it was just because there was a falling out, and it kind of got rough.
I like to pretend he went on to do Heroes. Now we'll never speak of that show again.
That's a pretty good point.
You know.
But to be honest, for the 50th, I wanted Cybermen, or I wanted a. I wanted a bigger villain than just squishy red aliens.
I'm kind of glad that it wasn't, though.
Yeah, like, at first I thought it was going to be the Weeping Angels, because they were like,
they're
the statues are smashed, and there's covers over
I was hoping.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, what's...
The Zygons.
Yeah, do you remember what special they were from?
They're from one episode of the Fourth Doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why they were brought back.
Fourth Doctor. The big reveal at the end.
That was
just the greatest moment where Tom Baker,
we're all thrusting into
the
air.
Who is the oldest living doctor right now. And
still very doctory in his, in his mannerisms.
I loved how he just, after ever since, still did the like he used to do in the old ones. Just awesome.
Yeah.
But he came back as the Doctor, and you're like, wait, why is he old? And the explanation they gave is, like, eventually in his life, he regenerates back into four and lives the rest of it, and lives the rest of his life aging normally.
Which is awesome.
And it's like, this is awesome. And, like, becomes
the
curator of that museum. And I thought that was really
because
good.
Matt Smith totally says,
I could totally
do this. I could retire and have a job. And
And that's just great. Like, awesome that there's
and
that
the who knows little bit.
Oh,
yeah. Baker.
Knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was Baker, there, you son of a.
So what I want to know from you, Whovians, was there one part in particular that you were just like, okay, well, this is.
That was the moment for me.
When Baker
came out. Yeah. I really liked, like, before that, it was when they showed, like, Capaldi showed up and he's like, all 13. And you're like, But then for me, it was definitely the Tom Baker. Just, I was like, I've watched a lot of Tom Baker's stuff, and it's just great.
Yeah, my third moment was the whole how the sonic screwdriver is always the same thing.
Yeah,
it's almost like a mini companion.
Yeah, and it remembers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on that note, I found the Matt Smith toy you can get from ThinkGeek.com.
Yeah,
if you hit the button 3 and/or 4 times, 2 hidden settings of sonic screwdriver sounds.
That's awesome.
Because I was just sitting there. Just messing with it while, during the commercials.
Hmm.
That's awesome.
I have to say, other than Capaldi's eyes, my favorite part was when 11 and 10 first meet, and they put on their glasses.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought it was awesome.
I loved the part where they all had to realize they weren't going to remember any of it.
Yeah. That was
and
really
they had
good.
To get back in their TARDIS, and the one didn't know which TARDIS was his.
Yeah.
Right.
He switched mine.
Well, I genuinely
you're
just
the
just
one that's war destroyed.
Like,
yeah.
Well, and one of my favorite parts, and I'm sorry,
screw it, let's go long.
One of them had their own, they had equal amount of screen time, where it would have been super easy for them to just be like, okay, well,
all of them
become a doctor right now, and each one of them had their own thing.
Right.
What about you guys? What was your favorite part?
Every single moment the three doctors were together, their chemistry together was amazing.
The whole one's an old warrior and make it. He's like, why are you guys talking like children?
Yeah.
Timey, whimey, wibbly, quit. What are you gonna do? Throw a cabinet at him? Or
what do you call skinny and chinny or something?
Skinny and chinny.
They're screwdrivers.
Yeah.
But we'll put the key on the or the lock on the.
No. Definitely a key because
whatever.
Companions do get keys.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're bringing back a story for a new segment.
Receiving transmission from David Garrett.
All right, there's a new Amazing Spider-Man 2 poster that was leaked. Oh no.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
Is it sucks and are we pretty sure that's fake?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, dude! I wish we could show you right now. There is it has the Rhino costume, and it literally looks like Transformers. It's on all fours robot Rhino.
Oh,
it can't be real.
No, no. I want Rhino to be the most pathetic. I want him to just be like... Wait, who's the other villain in it?
Electro.
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 So like, Electro, we're going to one country! Like, I just want to be Paul Giamatti from Sideways the entire time. Like, he's just...
You are Rhino's junk on someone's window.
Like,
but the worst part is that they show Green Goblin in the background, and all you can see, he looks like he's in street clothes, but he is wearing some sort of mask that you can't really tell. But it's like, that has to be fake,
right?
It's
fake. Well, it's fake. I think it's fake because the costume's a little different and not reflecting the one that they've already kind of picked. And also, Garfield is kind of a thin Spider-Man like he should be. And in the poster, he's kind of super buff. Like, he looks more like Tobey Maguire, I think, and that's... Which, nobody will ever say Tobey Maguire is super buff again. But I don't know. I think it looks ugly. And
also, if they're doing Green Goblin already, I don't think they would do that. It's,
right, exactly.
They're too Sony. They're too, like...
we're not gonna do that stuff.
After the credits scene, nerds.
But I just didn't... I didn't really care. The thing that really bothered me the most was the Rhino suit, because I want him to be... Like you said, I wanted to be kind of like, just like lame and in a, like a guy in a Rhino suit, but this was like,
it was like a Megazord.
It was like, yeah, it was like one of the mega Power Rangers. Like, maybe Paul Giamatti just like,
does Rita
like,
show up?
It's morphin' time. And then Paul Giamatti like, morphs with his junk.
Triceratops!
From Sideways.
Exactly.
And then
turns into a giant wine bottle.
But it just
Thunderzord power.
It just looks ridiculous.
I was trying to think of a Big Bad Wolf or Big Fat Liar reference, but I couldn't bring it up.
He just turns into his Harvey P. car. It's all grumpy at Spider. These aren't comic books.
I just don't want it to be that bad. Yeah. I want it to be good because the first one was good.
The first one was a lot better than
really
Spider-Man 3.
I was way surprised with that.
Yeah.
I was annoyed.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was.
Well, I
Peter
think
that
was Peter
Parkour.
Yeah, that's
skateboarding.
But okay, so let's, because we are, you know, it's going to be cutting it a little short this week, but that's all right. We'll go to our topic, and I think we wanted to save this topic for when. Lloyd came on because he's you guys are so sentimental about it.
Yeah,
but
the main reason I wanted to talk about this topic is, like you said, because of Lloyd.
Yeah.
And the topic is, how did you get into comics?
Yeah.
And the reason that is so important is because Lloyd is sort of the reason I got into comics. Lloyd was, my first job was at a grocery store, in Morgantown, Indiana, and...
Never forget.
It's like, and 900 square feet? Like, it's
tiny, really a tiny
store.
Wait, Trafalgar Mart?
And nobody,
it's smaller
like,
than that.
Nobody, like, really...
Nice.
Nobody really cares about the grocery store, and basically, here's what happened, is all of, like, most of their managers quit, and they needed a Wednesday night manager. And who gets the Wednesday night manager? Lloyd Moore. But here's the best part about it, is Lloyd and I would spend, like, every Wednesday, somehow I would close with him. And what we'd do is, like, we'd go and get comics in Bloomington. And we would then come back to the store with comics and sit in the stock room and eat fudge bars and read comics. Just like all night.
God,
and
this is so stereotypical, guys.
But the best was, and this is like one of my fondest memories, and I talk about it all the time still to this day, because I'm a retail manager now, and I'm like, I would totally let this happen because it's so awesome. Do you remember when we got in all of that sugar for some reason? Like, just an obscene amount of sugar, like pallets and pallets. And we made a throne out of sugar bags.
Oh, yes.
And we just sit in the throne of sugar bags and read comics and just be like, yes.
Oh, whoever bought that dinner twice smelled like farts.
there was also a Pepsi throne.
Oh, yeah. Like, right around Super Bowl time, we had the Pepsi case throne. Like, we would make thrones out of anything that was, like, just an obnoxious amount on a skin. We'd just take, like, four or five from the middle and make it into a chair and just be like sitting in this recliner of product reading comic books. And I remember one of the first things I read in there was Wolverine Origin. You're like, you need to read this. And you brought in your Wolverine Origin trade and I'm like, whoa,
this is how Wolverine became Wolverine.
This is going to be so much better than that movie in a couple decades.
I'm sitting on sugar.
Also, I feel like I'm the only person that kind of dug Wolverine Origins. I reread it recently. It's not as good as I remembered it.
No, that book's solid.
I was still like, you guys tried.
Yeah. I just remember explaining it to me. He's like, he meets everyone he meets in the X-Men, but different versions of them. He's like, he has this brother named Dog who's totally basically just Sabretooth, and he falls in love with this redhead. Typical. And I'm just like, this sounds awesome.
Typical.
Yeah, it just was so good, and I remember just...
Jean Grey didn't know what was going to hit her.
But that was just like one of my favorite moments. That's one of my favorite moments, is just like getting comics with you and then going back to IGA and reading comics.
Not helping.
And anytime we did get a customer, like, we heard a page to load a customer or something, we'd just be like,
we got 30 seconds.
Close your comic. Where was I? Back to the sugar palette. This is amazing.
But we somehow ran that story more efficiently than all the other
I know! It would still run smoothly, even though all we're doing is reading comics.
So that sounds a lot like Clerks.
So how did, right? And then we talk about Clerks a lot, too, actually. So how did you get into comics?
37.
try not to, on your way out, you come back here. I'm going to say that I got into... It's kind of depressing. My grandparents got into a car wreck. My grandfather died. And I remember one of the distractions my parents gave me during that time was giving me books, and they started giving me comic books.
Oh.
Like, I still remember my first comic book. It was Web of Spider-Man. I forgot the number. I just remember Hobgoblin's freaking huge on it, and he's like terrorizing Spider-Man, and that's why I had this whole bias of how I love Hobgoblin, because I just remember that
he was your first.
He wasn't Ned Leeds. I mean Kingston or whatever.
I remember that's another one I remember, like a fond memory of IGA is like you just sitting in the back and educating me on the history of Hobgoblin, because it was so convoluted.
Yeah,
and like he's like, and then this guy was the Hobgoblin, but turns out he wasn't actually the Hobgoblin, he just stole all the Hobgoblin stuff. And I was like, what?
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to stop you. I'm having a deja vu moment, because I remember the exact same conversation, only Green Lantern, when I first met you.
Yeah.
Yes. And my brain melted, because you just went hardcore. All the knowledge you had in like an hour. It hurt, man.
Which is why I like Dan Slott's whole Hobgoblin thing right now.
Right, yeah. One thing that I've done to them is the same thing that you did with the whole Hobgoblin stuff, but with Swamp Thing. I'll just like unload. Well, here's the history of Swamp Thing. He was a man, and then he turned into a monster. But then you find out that that monster's actually not even a man.
Also,
but now, that man is that monster again.
Also, he was raped by a sentient satellite.
And also, he was raped by a sentient satellite in the 80s.
And he got in a fight with Batman.
Yeah.
When you told the Swamp Thing you should have worn a big Alan Moore beard.
Well, I did do an Alan Moore impression.
Like
because I love doing Alan Moore impressions. Because he's like, oh, you really think you like the Swamp Thing? Well, I just changed the Swamp Thing, made it something different, and still, you read it. You're a bunch of fools.
Little Lulu.
Oh, you think you like superheroes? Well, superheroes suck. If you like superheroes, then you're lame.
Mr. Moore, will you sign my copy of Watchmen Babies?
And then I love you, Lulu, just the same.
For the record, I would totally watch Watchmen Babies.
That's seriously one of my favorite. Now that I'm a comic book fan, that's like one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons ever.
I love Alan Moore, but he's just a crazy old man.
I think, like, at a con, they should organize a Hug Alan Moore, and every comic book fan's just like, I love you, Alan.
Yeah.
And he's just like, get off me! Get off me!
You
read Lost Girls!
You pay
Why
him.
Why did you make their heads go down towards your Read Lost Girls!
That's basically
bowing.
I mean, that's essentially what Lost Girls is.
You pay him just to smack you.
It's very sexy.
It's kind of what Lost Girls do.
It's just a filthy...
Gotta stay quiet. I gotta talk about all this.
But I mean, I guess I'll say how I got into comic books. Ever since I was a kid, my dad basically beat Batman in my head.
I thought you were gonna say me for a second.
I wanted vengeance.
I beat me hard.
Just
dark. That was fun.
Guys, that really happens.
But anyway,
we're sorry.
And then, so, yeah. No offense to anybody who's been doing that. But, I just...
Oh, I need to drink more beer.
Sorry, after you.
And, yeah. And so, basically, you know, I just grew up with this Batman knowledge, but I had never read anything. And then around the 2011 DC reboot, I kind of started with Animal Man. And then I also started with Grant Morrison's Batman and Robin run, which I was so incredibly lost, but yeah. I enjoyed it just the same. But
it's awesome.
And then, you know, I'm boring. I didn't have a whole lot to do, but...
You guys have...
honestly, the way I got into comics was via Batman. It was the, you know, the Batman movie, and then my dad's like, oh, if you like that, here, watch Adam West Batman. I'm like, oh, but I was still young enough. I was like, cool, guys, there's Kapow and stuff on the TVs. And then we actually ended up finding in my grandma's attic, like, The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, how, why, and who? And from there, it was just, I needed it.
That was my first graphic novel. Was The Dark Knight Returns.
But it was really the animated series from there on out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone really likes The Dark Knight Returns. That's cool. Do you remember the Batman episode we did in the podcast where basically it's just the Dark Knight Returns episode of the podcast?
Yeah.
That's all we talk about.
Oh, man. It's a long Halloween.
Linus from... Benjamin Linus plays a great Joker.
I was thinking Peanuts.
Yeah. Linus carries that blanket around like Batman would carry a cape. Just saying.
Warner actually pleaded with me forever to get into comic books, and then he figured out that I have a very much so big passion for like Renaissance era stuff.
Yeah.
So he gave me Neil Gaiman 1602.
Oh yeah, I should probably give that back to you.
Which Lloyd introduced to me. That was one of those things. Lloyd's like, you should read this. It's nutty.
I was
like, why are all these superheroes pilgrims? Why is Captain America an Indian named Rajahs?
It was really awesome. Well,
dude, I haven't read that. I'm just kidding.
It's just incredible.
That I liked Batman a lot, so he got me into Long Halloween, Dark Victory, different things like that.
Oh, yeah. And that's how you got me back into it.
Yeah, I know. Talk to you. I'll try and Dark Victory. Life. I don't like to read comics by issues, because I forget. I can't remember what
it
happens.
Is a little difficult.
I like trades, so I've read all the Y-Last.
That's actually...
Pride of Baghdad, all the really good things.
That's actually a good point to bring up, because Lloyd and I kind of did a little pre-interview to the podcast and talked about how you're kind of switching now to digital for single issues, and then mostly trades now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's...
Hey, is that's what I do.
Is it a space and cost-effective thing, or is it...
It's... Yeah, it's, I do live in a tiny studio apartment. Ladies, things are working out perfectly.
Ladies.
Oh, no, I can't stand it! I have a closet that's literally, it's 8 long boxes, and it's all that's in the closet, and I'm like, you know...
That's your standard unit of measurement.
Yeah.
The standard nerd man.
8.5 long books.
And on top of that, I have a coffee table full of single issues, 2 bookshelves full of trades. I'm just like, this is getting ridiculous. I'm running out of room. And also, I need to start spending money more efficiently.
Yeah.
So if you want to hook up with Lloyd...
99 cents is a lot.
Yes. Follow him at Lloyd.
You can follow me at Lloyd Moore.
There you go.
Okay, Cupid as well.
We're not
plentyoffish.com.
Alec and
no, I'm not that kind of guy.
More blackpeoplemeet.com.
There's a good Lloyd story.
What?
Alright.
Do you remember how like people at the IGA would always be like, oh, that nice Mexican boy helps me. And you're like Filipino. You're not like, you don't about look Mexican at all. But I remember that one time there was a guy who's like, oh, you know the Hawaiian Samoan kid. Where do you get Samoan?
Like he's at the counter, like, what can I do for you, brother?
And the brother like, is guy.
No, that's good stuff.
The brother is guy running the casual.
You can see I have a fair amount of trades, but mostly with trades I do just like the independent stuff, okay, and omnibus and stuff like that, where, like, I don't... Like, Walking Dead drives me nuts to read issue to issue because it's just so stressful.
Yeah.
I have to have, like, five or six.
Yeah, well, I think in some,
shoot,
I think comics...
Who's gonna die or get raped?
I think
or
so.
Oh, Kirkman.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I think it's a Kirkman thing. A lot of Kirkman stuff reads better just in a trade.
Well, yeah, because
like, Invincible.
It's too much hype, man.
Yeah.
Issue to issue, you can't... I can't do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's superhero stuff, though,
Omnibus,
all the time. Like, Swamp Thing, every issue...
Yeah,
for a long time Green Lantern, but now I dropped it because it's kind of getting bad. But
you,
the Flash,
what?
Every issue, just I have to have it. Fantastic Four, I love that feel of just like a comic book in my hands flipping through the pages.
You think you'll miss that at all?
Yes,
and
I will definitely miss that. Like it's something I'm not doing because like I'm out of love with it. Get out of here.
Yeah,
it's more like
a necessity.
I'm sorry, we need to break up. I'm going to college.
Yeah, like, there is something great about like the guided view and the Retina display and all that goodness.
Digital has its place for sure.
Oh yeah, because that's how I consume. Because they tell me what to read next. If you already read this issue, you'll like this entire series. I'm like, well, okie dokie.
Click.
Well, like, if I ever own, I don't have an iPad, but if I did, I think I would probably there'd be a couple of things that I would buy, like Batman. I'd get every issue, but I think I would read a lot more. I think digital though, if I had somewhere to put it. Course, but.
You could put it on the cloud, man.
Yeah.
It's
like,
in the air.
It's just like it's definitely nice for archiving purposes. And if I'm like at work and I'm reading something, and they're like, "Hey, man, what are you reading?" And I'm reading Year Zero. They're like, "What's Year Zero?" I'm like, "Here's Night Owls. Take my iPad. Like, read it now." There's
That's
something
true.
Really
yeah.
nice about having everything at the tip of my fingers.
That's true.
And I do like that a lot. But yeah, I got made fun of once because I described sexily. Sexually? About sliding
we'll
a comic book into a... about sliding a comic book into a bag and board, and my friends were just like, "Do you need a second to be alone?" And I'm like, "Yes!
Yes, kind
be
of!
Alone.
Thanks!"
You sniff the board.
But, well, I think that's probably a good time as any to wrap it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here, Lloyd. We really
Lloyd coming all the way from Texas for
yeah,
us.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll be able to be a series regular next season and all
Yay.
That.
Once we get our Skype business figured out.
But,
don't forget to check out our affiliates at thefanboyfactor.com.
Absolutely.
Also, comicbookuniversity.com for all your comic book needs. They're located on Shelby Street in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Right next to the
it's
Five
it's
Guys
in the Greenwood,
Greenwood
Shopping.
Yeah, so go get a delicious burger and some awesome comics.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't just sit in front of the
you
parking lot.
You can also
like
buy comics from them digitally and online, so that's cool.
But you got to remember, turn the page, wash your hands.
Yeah.
Turn the page. Rocko's Modern Life.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know. I totally
okay.
get it.
Okay.
It's
I
turtle.
Got
it.
Turn your face. Wash your hands.
Everybody, thanks
he was
for
Jewish,
coming.
Right? For
and,
sure.
For
sure.
This is. We only have two more episodes
yeah,
in this
yeah.
season.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Our season ends in two more episodes. We'll be back in January. And all you guys can just suck a toot.
Later. Yeah.